Thank you very much, Joan, both for the energetic introduction and the great poems. I really enjoyed it. I'm going to, I think, have a little lighter tone tonight than has been set. Those are important historical and personal issues, but I've been doing something a little lighter recently. We are in Bloomfield, and this first poem is called Bloomfield. Bloomfield, Pittsburgh. Not much is really blooming except the one flower bed under the signature sign just over the bridge, and the fields are mostly on TV screens, necks stretching above bars where sports hypnotize their Pittsburgh lovers. Everybody who moves to preppy Shadyside eventually ends up happier in blue-collar Bloomfield. My conversion came through my son and his rock band, The Little Wretches, who asked me to open with my poetry for their Bloomfield Bridge Tavern gig. What a place. Tiny and smoky in those days, as if to say, this is a corner off the mill floor where the iron-bending world builders can rest with their own. The food, big, bold commas of kielbasa, and a standing bet you can't finish this pierogi and haluska serving. How delicious opening for my son's rock band. They were all so cool in their unbelievable 20s. And I wasn't. But I invited all my friends, not sure I'd have another chance, foolishly remembering that Elvis used to open for the Leuven Brothers, and Bloomfield is all about trying. I did okay. My son's band brought down the house, and we bridged to my friends. But my memory was stolen by a childhood woman friend with MS, who made me understand Bloomfield, even Pittsburgh, as on that miserably cold night, she negotiated her motorized wheelchair through a slog of snow and ice. I nearly hit her while parking. She was dead a year later, but not to her friends, not to me. Thank you. Thanks, guys. And this is called Contemplation. We are often told that poets need to pay more attention to science, and I don't think that's true. I think we pay just enough attention to science, but here's a poem vaguely on that area called Contemplation. All food is 80% water, a doctor once told me. When you think about it, it has to be. I thought about it. I didn't think it had to be. I'm a theological libertarian. God could do anything she wanted. All food could be like Jell-O, which might be a better plan for no toast stuck in the throat, or bricks for that matter. Bad barbecue proves that we'd survive that, if you think about it. I had a smarty girlfriend who used the same phrase like, marriage is the most logical manner of living for humans, if you think about it. I thought about it. I didn't think it had to be. I live single now. Okay. Thank you. One more. This is called Locks. This is a little more serious, a little sadder. I sleep near my father's hair, curling next to my bed on a shelf. His soft four fingers of silky blonde in a gray box, now broken, still showing a small but distinctive crest, as if for the Pittsburgh noble he never became. His parents took more from him than that grasp of hair, hothousing him in the child purgatory of the Monongahela House, his mother dying early, his father mourning, obliterating all but his merchant tailor business. My father's childhood was briefly saved by his grandmother's farm, idealized in his telling to sweet lettuce patches, cucumber sandwiches, a gardener who blew the foam off his reward beer in the face of a cat named William Howard Taft. His mother's brief vitality, cancer growing slower than the spring radishes. And they left him less, an eternal thirst for love and whiskey, a rage at injustices done to him. Two children who drank more and hid their thefts and philandering less than he did. My father's hair is tied by a small piece of string so I can touch the ancient and loving oils of my grandmother's hands. The string is as dried now as worn out compassion, but that won't crack and blow away.